You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Blue Cruise from only $138 bi-weekly at Lakewood Chev.
Ryan Pecorine, safe to say, he has kind of redeemed himself after a game where the worst goaltending performance statistically in a full game since 1967 in the playoffs, when he only made 7 saves, right? He was excellent last night and arguably the reason the Predators won the game.
Yeah, no, he was huge last night. I mean, like, it's 2 games in a row now where he's made second period saves that were at kind of a crucial juncture in the game where momentum was still there to be had for either team, and he comes up huge. So, yeah, man, like, I mean, I don't think we should overstate what happened in games 1 and 2. He wasn't good enough, let in too many, but he wasn't atrocious either. Like, the statistics are bad because the Penguins didn't get any shots. And when the Penguins don't get any shots, then obviously the save percentage is going to be ugly. So he wasn't good enough in the first 2 games. He knew it, and he came here and shut it right down. And now the key for him is to figure out how to try and do that in Pittsburgh. But he was awesome here, and those saves he made last night in the second period, man, were unbelievable. Like, just there's good saves, and then there's all world type saves, and that's what he came up with at that point in time.
Sidney Crosby probably played his best game of the series last night, at least I felt anyway. Jake Guentzel, who had been red hot, it was set up 2 beauty chances, couldn't finish either one of them, but Crosby played his best game. Now, some people are talking about fatigue. I don't think it's a factor at all, especially now with 2 days rest between every game the rest of the way. And I know some people are like, oh, Nashville's got all the momentum. I don't really believe in momentum at all in this year's playoffs based how it's gone. I still think Pittsburgh's in the driver's seat because they got home ice advantage and they still have the 2 best forwards in the series. What do you think?
I don't know that I would say that Pittsburgh's in the driver's seat. I think there are more people who are assuming the Predators are more in the driver's seat. And the reason is, though the home team has won all 4 games in this series, I think you could make the argument that the Predators were the better team in all 4 games of this series. So, I think they have a much better handle on how to play the Penguins than the Penguins have a handle on how to figure out the Predators. I think that they've carried the bulk of the play. I think they've been the better team in each game, though they haven't won them all. Now, I'm not prepared to say that the Predators is theirs to lose at this point. And you mentioned the reasons why. I think that Sidney Crosby was excellent last game. I think they had people finished a little better. He could have had 3 or 4 points. And I think the fact that Crosby has really woken up here, I don't know that that's going anywhere. So I probably wouldn't say that the Predators have the advantage. I still see it as pretty even. The combination of Crosby waking up the way he is and the Predators' consistency, this thing is wide open to me.
When you look at the Crosby specifically, what did you see in his game last night that you didn't notice in the first 3?
Yeah, I think it was just more of an aggressiveness in his game. I use this phrase when I was talking about McDavid all year long, but really commanding the puck, like putting himself in positions where he was just like, give it to me. And, I mean, we saw the speed he took off with on the breakaway and then the other breakaway that he got. He was just really buzzing around. He was making plays with authority, real, real fast in all of his decision-making, powerful in his moves. He just looked like the dominant player that he can be. He really separated himself last night, whereas he had blended in a little bit in previous games. He just kind of elevated everything another 10%. And it's how he stands out. And I just thought the vision, the one pass to Guentzel was unreal in the slot there. I mean, what an opportunity. He had a couple of nice setups. Just really, really elevated his game a few percentile. And very few guys can do that with him. And when he does, he stands out.
Reiner Schock from TSN joins us in Nashville. Shager, any update you're hearing? Do you expect Nick Bedino? I know he took the warm-up on last night, but obviously didn't play. Extra 2 days rest. Do you think he plays on Thursday?
Yeah, good question. If we start to see him cruising around without the boot and the crutches, I think that's a sign that it's probably healing and getting better. I think it's one of those injuries. I don't know. I mean, you assume it's whether it's a crack or just a deep bruise or I don't propose to know exactly what it is, but that's 2 out of 3 days he's at least been on the ice. Now, when I saw him in practice, okay, it wasn't yesterday. I think it was the day before yesterday. He looked brutal, like really brutal. So he looked to me like he had a ways to go. But it's one of those things. It just depends on how fast it heals. So we'll, I mean, we got a crew in Pittsburgh. They'll keep an eye on it. If he starts, the other one I'm wondering about is Chris Letang too. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen him around, man. That guy's working out hard. Like we've seen him around the team quite a bit, and he's always got the full sweat going. Like he's just finished a major, major workout. I don't know. I wouldn't be ruling him out if there's a potentially a game seven, or maybe they surprise everyone and it's a game six, but he looks like he's been working hard to stay ready.
And hey, if he comes back in mentally more than anything else, that would be a massive boost for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They've endured a lot of injuries during this playoff run, and of course, even before the playoffs started, and they've been able to overcome it. You do wonder if maybe they're just the lack of skill, because the one obvious difference in this series, Ryan, is Nashville's defense is significantly better right now than Pittsburgh. Like Pittsburgh at times really struggles just to get out of their own zone.
Yeah, but that's the pressure of the Predators forwards, right? I mean, that's kind of what I did some of my stuff today on. It's like that cliche, right? We always hear hockey cliches and we sort of disregard them because they're in one ear and out the other. But we've heard them say consistently, and hockey players forever have talked about taking away time and space. You don't really think about that. But that's precisely what the Predators are getting by on here. They're not giving the Predator or the Penguin defenseman any time at all, and they've taken away all of their space. So the number of times where they're coughing the puck up below their own goal line or below the hash marks, it's just nonstop. I mean, the Predators' forecheck is nonstop. They're fast players. They're aggressive players. They play the body. And I think the Penguins' defense is probably a little bit banged up. And so, man, the pressure that the Preds have been able to maintain because of that speed and because they are taking away all of the space and all the time, they're getting by on that cliche right now. And Craig Smith, I asked Craig Smith about it today and about how much of that of a credo that is of theirs. And he just said, the term he used, he said, pressure sucks. It sucks. Like it's when you're under pressure all the time, how hard it is to make plays and do things that are effective. And like, think back to after game three, the way Malkin talked, he was so frustrated, man. I was sitting there, we were interviewing him, and he was asked a couple times about getting more shots on net. He's like, I'm trying. He had the puck for like 1 second. There was such a genuine frustration level there. And that's because of that cliche that the Preds are living by.
Quickly, as the Stanley Cup final winds down, it ramps up right into the expansion draft. The teams have to submit their lists on the 17th at 3 o'clock Edmonton time. Then the league will announce them publicly on the 18th. We'll find out officially who's available and who isn't. And from what I understand, obviously any trades have to be made prior to that list being exposed, obviously. So they have until the 17th. Any teams like the Ducks to trade Sammy Vatanen, for instance, or the Wild to trade Matt Dumba, for instance, potentially. The Edmonton Oilers, Griffin Reinhart, Jujhar Khaira, Lauren Brossoit are three young guys who won't be protected. Benoit Pouliot, we obviously know, Eero Pakarinen won't be protected. Do you think there's any chance Vegas looks at Benoit Pouliot? Because on a bad team, he can be a top six forward. He was in Edmonton for 2 years, right? But when you're on a good team, then he's a bottom six forward. Do you think there's any chance that they look at him? Or do you still think it's Reinhart maybe the guy they're leaning towards?
I think the only way they look at considering Benoit Pouliot if there's something in it for him other than Benoit Pouliot. They need to be enticed to take Benoit Pouliot. The contract it's just no good for what the player has put out the last little bit. So I think would they be willing to take him? Maybe, and in the right circumstance. Now, whether that's pluck him off the unprotected list or whether that's work trade, But I think there needs to be something in it for them. If you're going to take a player like Pouliot, a guy who makes too much money, who isn't producing, who you're kind of taking a chance that he'll have a resurgence, there needs to be an enticement there. What that is, I'm not sure. I don't know what that looks like in the form of a draft pick or a prospect. I mean, you know, look at what the Chicago Blackhawks had to give up to get some pain off their books. And who was it they traded? Tara Vinen, I think they had to trade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there has to be something in it for Vegas to be willing. You can only do that so many times, take on so many guys that make too much money on bad deals. You got to pick your spots and be careful about that. And when you do decide to do it, it needs to be worth it because of what else you're getting.
Yeah, potentially for sure. You know, the Oilers, though, the thing is, I just don't think because of their lack of organizational depth, they're in a position to trade away, a second-round pick in 2018, for instance, because I don't think a third-round pick is going to get it done, right? To give away another second-round pick, they don't have one this year, just to get rid of Benoit Pouliot. I just they don't have enough. They don't have any organizational depth. Like they need to stock their cupboards, Ryan, because it's pretty bare after the NHL guys. Now, like Anton Lander was a dominant AHL player, right? But if you look at their center depth in the minors, and if we assume that Jujhar Khera takes over David Desharnais' spot on the roster, then you got to go to Kyle Platzer as potentially their next best center, and he had one goal in 51 games.
Right. I mean, don't forget to get Tyler Benson coming, and if he can stay healthy,
yeah,
he will step into that role as, you know, the young, higher-end draft pick that's not even developing into a depth player.
Yeah, but he's not even a point-of-game player in junior, right? He's got 115 points, 125 games. I think he could be a solid.
Yeah, but he's played. I mean, I bet he's played 40 to 60% of his games with some sort of an. I mean, he has not been able to stay healthy for a long time.
Yeah, so I know, but
I agree with you. I know what you're saying.
He's just.
But he is an important piece of the organization.
Yeah,
forget about him a little bit.
I see Benson as a player who's an extremely hard worker, smart player. I don't see him as a finisher. He's never really been a finisher. Well, definitely not at the WHL level. Right? You know, lighting up and banning AAA, I'm sorry, I know people focus on that, and great for him, but that's far removed from the equation
right.
In my books. I think Benson could be a really excellent complementary forward, good third liner, can kill penalties, smart player, will do anything, but I don't see him as a high-end offensive potential guy. I don't think the Oilers have anybody outside of Jesse Puljujarvi as a prospect for a high-end offensive guy, which is why I think for sure their draft pick this year is going to be a forward.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I agree with you. They don't have the guy in their organization. I mean, outside of Puljujarvi, who's for sure going to be the guy or who they know they can rely on to bring in a top six role if somebody gets hurt. Like, I get what you're saying. I guess all I mean is that Benson is a player that was drafted high for a reason. They see something in him, and he is part of their plans organizationally to – you know, whether he steps in. I mean, what you just described is a third-line complementary player. Well, they don't really have even many of those. So if that's what he is, then great. They need those as well, right? So they'll have Puljujarvi. They'll have Benson coming. They've got Khera, who is probably ready to step in more often. They've got Slepyshev, who's been up and down, who's probably ready to take a run at being a more regular player. So they have some of these guys that are close, but there's not a lot of backfield behind them. And I agree with you, that's where this year's first rounder probably comes in. Unless they get a chance to get Tyson Barrie, and then maybe your first rounder's in play.
You think Tyson Barrie's in play out of Colorado?
Well, I guess it depends on what the trade with Matthew Shane looks like. If they make a defenseman the centerpiece of a trade involving Matthew Shane, maybe. I don't know, maybe.
And I guess my other question,
I still like Barrie.
Yeah. Isn't Barrie to me a guy who's a good power play player who's really a third pairing even strength defenseman? Do you want to pay him that much to be a third pairing even strength guy?
I'm not convinced he's a third pairing even strength defenseman.
Okay. You think he's second pairing?
I think he's in an ugly situation in Colorado. And if Justin Schultz has taught us nothing else, it should be that how bad it can get for a guy in a bad situation where there's a ton of losing happening and he's got a certain skill set. And I think I mean, listen, you can go back 2 years. I've been a fan of Tyson Berry's, thinking he would be a great answer for this team. And my, just because he had a down year, my opinion on him doesn't change. I think he's still a solution for this Oiler team, but prying him out of there is not going to be easy. And yes, he makes a good chunk of money, but, and frankly, signing Lucic the way they did makes it very difficult to spend that kind of money on a defenseman. I think he could be an important piece for them. So if the price makes sense and there's a deal to be had, I'd be all ears if I were the Oilers still on that player.
What was your pick in this series at the start?
I went with the Preds in six.
Preds in six? Well, hey, definitely.
I think we both did, didn't we?
Yeah, I had Preds in six as well. And so I was wondering, have you seen anything to alter that or make you feel more confident?
No, I'm going to stick with it. If you were to give me a chance to pull the pin right now on that, I'll stay with it, because I do think Nashville's been the better team in all these games. And I think they've got a puzzle to figure out. That's how to win in Pittsburgh. They've got a chance to do it this next game. And I think they've got an excellent chance to go in there and be as stifling as they've been all series long and get this win. So, no, I'm not going to change it, man. I'm standing firm. How about you?
Yeah, I am, but I don't have the same support in my outdated sandals as you do. So you might be standing a little bit more firm than I am.
Oh, man, he's the worst guy to be on the road with. Like, worst guy. So you don't like my sandals, chirp me all you want. But really, we're going to put them on Twitter? We're going to put my sandals on Twitter? Offside.
I can't believe you just don't tweet more pictures of where Dregs looks like a midget beside you. Those ones always make me laugh. I'm like, get us. Do you guys not? Can't they get like a little step stool or something, so there's not this like almost foot difference?
Yeah, there's a pretty significant difference. I've got a great one of him doing push-ups right in front of the entire media horde. There's like 30, 40 media people standing around, and Dregs is face down doing push-ups in a suit. And the fact that he tweeted these sandals, I'm kind of feeling like I might have to tweet this thing now. I'm a little bit agitated now.
Frank Saravelli already tweeted that picture.
He did, eh?
Oh, right after it happened. He was like, oh, here's Darren. But it didn't really show his face, and it only showed – I wanted to see the face of the people laughing at him doing the push-ups.
Yeah. I got a video, too, actually.
Oh, well, you should probably put that out. It's all good fun. It's good fun. Good times. Shogger, have a
Sean
good
one. McKenzie today, too.
Oh, shocking. It's one game you're good at. I will give you credit for that. Shogger, we will chat with you tomorrow. Have fun in Nashville. You go to the Grand Ole Opry?
Actually going tonight, yeah.
There you go. Well, we expect a report.
The Ryman today.
Yes.
Yeah, Grand Ole Opry tonight.
We'll respect a full report tomorrow, okay?
Okay, sounds good, buddy.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. It's the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City, Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue.